from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Heino and the Music Row Show.
Come on, all Scott, right. We got a real piano player coming in tonight.
No kidding. I wonder if he'll play that part. Probably not.
If you teach it to him.
If I teach it to him. Dink, dink, dink. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
My name is Heino.
Me llamo es Scott.
Oh, muy bueno.
Thank
Me
you.
Llamo es Heino.
Thank you.
Oh. Thanks for tuning in. We love it that you're with us. This show is for all you songwriters and performers and musicians out there who just want to figure stuff out here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything.
Nope.
We're in our ninth year on the air. We're still trying to figure this out along with you. We're out slinging songs during the day just like y'all are. But we are able to find brilliant, talented people, bring them into the studio and pick their brains and give you the opportunity to join the conversation as well.
Yep. And you can do that by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow.
Oh, shoot.
You can also hit us up on Twitter at TheMusicRowShow. Conversation just started.
Hey, Heino, you have one of those TVs in your house?
I do, actually.
Did you know that now nationwide you can find us on TV? Of course, we've been on Blue Highways TV for, I think, 3 years now.
3 years now, yeah.
But Dish TV has, the Dish Network has picked up Blue Highways. And now we're just all over the place.
We're everywhere. We're officially in 22 million homes now.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
That's crazy.
So you can check us out. Right. Check out our show. the premiere show is always Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern. And then there's several reruns throughout the week. So you can go to our website and find out all the time and dates for that. But tonight, we've got an all-star show lined up for you. We've got artist manager and creator of the 30-day Music Market Challenge. Rick Barker is here with us right now.
That's right. And then we have Big Hit Time. And hold on. Big Time Hit. Big Hit.
Bit.
Hit. Big plug. Time Hit. Whew. Wow. I know.
You're fired.
Big Time Hit songwriter, recording artist. Phil Vassar is going to be right here in the studio with us, playing on his piano.
Nice.
I know.
Easy for you to say. We'll see if you can introduce our guest here without stumbling too much. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Tonight's first guest is one of those guys that I love to keep up with online because his mind is just always going, and he actually doesn't mind sharing the results. He helped launch Taylor Swift's career. He's a social media consultant for American Idol. He's an artist development consultant for Big Machine Records. You get the picture?
I think I do.
He knows stuff.
Yeah.
And if you pay attention to the next hour, you may know stuff too. He has a 30-day music market challenge available right now that you all should join if you're serious about taking charge of your artist career here in 2016. It is a pleasure to welcome back and to say, Rick Barker, we're glad you're here. Welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Listen to that crowd.
Woo. Goes wow. Absolutely wild. You guys have come a long way since the last time. We were in a little like dark studio and we didn't have all these cameras.
In an alley.
Next to a dumpster.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You guys have been doing a great thing too, because the cool part about what you do is that you allow people to have access. And you kind of open up the curtain sometimes. Remind me, speaking of opening up the curtain, to tell you a great Phil Vassar story before I leave, before he
Phil
comes
Vassar
on.
Story.
Okay, perfect. Okay, on the air or off the air?
I'll tell it on the air. It's
okay.
Very funny.
Wow, okay. Cliffhanger.
Yeah, it was good.
All right.
It was good. He may or may not remember it, but it was pretty funny when it happened. At least it was funny for me because I was the guy doing the prank.
There you go.
Yeah, so
all right.
Good.
Okay. All right. I'm looking forward to it.
In 30 seconds or less,
sure.
Tell me everything I need to know to be a successful recording artist. Go.
Learn to solve people's problems. Get involved in as many conversations as you can.
Yeah.
And don't suck.
There you go. Done. I guess.
All right.
Is Phil Vassar here yet?
We'll see you soon. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for being here.
No, seriously. What do you say to people looking for shortcuts to success, you know, in music or anything else?
There aren't any shortcuts. But first, you have to identify what your version of success means.
Okay.
Because for some people, success may mean getting to play every Friday and Saturday night in their hometown.
Sure.
And make a couple bucks, you know, the weekend warrior types,
sure,
which
sure.
I know, you know, Scott, you've grown up being a weekend warrior. You've played gigs a long time. If someone's wanting to go the radio route, it can be very expensive. We know personally, the three of us artists who've had success at radio, but no longer have a deal, no longer have a publishing deal. So that wasn't obviously the secret. I just did an amazing video with Greg Bates. It's a free video, and I'll give you guys access at the end to be able to go watch some of these videos. But here's a kid who graduated from Belmont with a music business degree,
right?
Got his publishing deal, his record deal. 6 months later, put a song out to radio. 1 year later, had a top five single. And then 6 months later, had nothing. And the problem that I feel that most folks run into, and Greg shared a lot about this, is he thought once he got his song on radio that it was going to take care of everything. It would build the fan base. It would provide the means
right.
that he would need to sustain a career. And as we've seen over and over, that isn't the case
right.
anymore. So what I've been focusing on for the last few years, actually since the last time we spoke, is I said, okay, wait a minute. There's no shortage of people who can sing. There's no shortage of talent.
That's true.
Turn on the internet. You can see them anywhere. Watch these television shows. Talent's everywhere. But
right.
why is it, you know, we'll use The Voice as an example. Why is it that the only success coming from The Voice are the careers of the judges and not the singers who leave that show? And a lot of times people don't think about that. They just know, wow, I watched the show. That person was so great. Well, I'm all pro exposure. I'm all about getting the maximum exposure that you possibly can as long as you have your business set up properly to take advantage of that. So that's what my goal has been for the last few years, is to say, hey, let me help you navigate the music business. First off, it's a business. Not let me teach you how to get a record deal, because unless I'm the guy signing you to a record deal, that's up to whoever is writing the checks.
Exactly.
I can't teach you how to get a publishing deal.
Same thing.
Unless I'm signing you to the yeah. publishing deal. But I can teach you how to build an audience. I can teach you how to monetize your business. I can teach you how to become what I like to say a small business worth investing in, because that's ultimately what the labels and the publishing companies and the fans want to do. They want to invest in something that shows that it's working. And with this town, man, there's so much great music being created every single day. And we fall in love so much with the music that sometimes we don't take a look at the vehicle that has to go out
right.
and pitch the music. And I said, I think we're probably in one of the few businesses that I'm aware of where you put an unqualified person in the marketplace with $500,000 investment. And when it doesn't work, they get fired, not the person
right.
who continues to put them out in the marketplace. So my goal is to equip as many people as possible with the tools that they need for whatever they define success as, whatever their level of success is. If it's getting 100 people to a show consistently, great. Let's put a program together to figure out how to do that. In the meantime, I just love this business. I love this business. I love music, you know, and that's my passion now, is helping as many people as I possibly can.
Which leads us to this 30-day music market challenge. What is it, and how did you come up with the concept?
So what happened with that was the first program. So the first thing I built when I started consulting and I left physically day-to-day managing artists was I created the Music Industry Blueprint. Everyone kept saying, you've got to have a solid foundation. And I said, well, that's going to really mess things up if you have a blueprint for a 5-bedroom house and your foundation's only for 3 bedrooms.
Right.
2 people are going to be a little upset. So the first thing I did is I needed to go out and educate people on the music business. Build your brand, build your audience, engage your audience, which is a part that most people miss, and then go out and sell. Most people go out, record a cool product, and then throw it up on iTunes and think that they've got it made.
Right. People are going to find them.
Well, no. And that's the problem
right.
is that, you know, you need to have your music on iTunes, but they may get referred to it if they like a Scott Southworth song. They say, hey, you like Scott? Check out Hino.
Bad example.
Yeah. Well, you know the deal. You're right here in front of me. And the guy's got a dream, doesn't he? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Southworth,
yeah.
featured artist on iTunes. So after I did the music business, the music industry blueprint, people kept coming to me asking about social media. So I said, okay, here you go. Here's a vehicle that's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, people all over the world. So I created social media for music. Well, then after I created social media for music, everyone's like, well, I need to know when to post, how to post, what to post, so on and so forth. So my business partner, who is brilliant in the internet marketing space, he had written a book a few years ago that just showed him step by step what to do. And people kept asking me, well, what is it that I should do? How many people should I follow on Twitter? Where do I find other artists like me? So we said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to eliminate all excuses. We created the 30-day music marketing challenge, which is step by step. Today, you need to follow 350 people on Twitter. You need to go find 5 other artists like you. You need to go follow 100 of their fans. You need to leave comments. It was step by step. And I believed in the process so much. I said, here's the deal. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to give you a 30-day money-back guarantee. If at the end of 30 days you can show me that it did not grow, not only will I refund your money, but I'll give you $100 of my own. And I haven't had to pay anything to anyone because the people that are attracted to me know that there's work that has to be done. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that people would come to me and say, well, you know, Taylor Swift was only successful because her daddy had money.
Right.
And I said, well, let's think about that for a second. There's no shortage of dads with money.
And there's a lot of them in town.
So why aren't there a thousand Taylor Swifts?
Yeah.
Exactly. Because they don't realize that you can't duplicate timing. You can't duplicate luck. You can't duplicate work ethic. There's a lot of things that you can't duplicate. So she was the perfect storm. I mean, she came in at a time, you know, the way her and I met actually is I worked for the record company. Scott Borchetta pulled me out of radio. Mm-hmm. That's what I did for 15 years. And I had created this program called Nashville to You. And that's where I helped Sugarland and Josh Turner. What it was basically is I helped artists go out on radio tour and get paid, basically. And it was, I solved a problem. Everybody always asks me, they're like, what do you do for a living? I go, I just solve problems. A lot of them happen to be music business related, but I solve problems. So when I kept seeing that people had questions and there's not like a chamber of commerce, unfortunately, for the music business. I wish there was. You show up to Nashville and you stop here and it's like, meet this person, don't meet this person, spend money here, don't spend money here. That wasn't available. It was like the wild, wild west. So that's when I started really focusing on trying to get a hold of people early and create solutions to their problems. And the marketing was one of the problems they were having. And I'm like, the internet, I absolutely love the internet. What the internet did, in my opinion, is it said, okay, before we relied solely on who we heard on the radio and the record companies to go identify what we thought at the time was the best talent in the world. If they're on the radio and they have a record deal, they're the absolute best people ever. Well, 1997 comes along and the internet, and all of a sudden we start finding all these other people going, wow, they're pretty talented. Unbelievable.
And they're not on the radio.
No, and why? Why aren't they on the radio? So then what happened is it allowed people to say, hey, I've got something that I would like to offer. How do I go then and get it in front of these folks? So that's where I come in and say, look, go find a hungry audience and feed it. Go find people that want to hear. You don't need them all. You know, we've learned that. You can get 1,000 fans. Give them the opportunity to buy $50 worth of product throughout the year, and you've created a $50,000 a year income, making more than most teachers, doing what it is that you love to do. But because of the TV shows, because of the award shows, because of all that, the perception was, well, I haven't made it unless I'm on that show.
Right.
Or I haven't made it unless I hear myself on the radio. Right now, this little object that I'm holding in my hand is called an iPhone. Mm-hmm. The phone is everyone's radio right now. So your job should be to get your music on as many telephones as you possibly can and then give them a way to interact with you and a way to buy.
And that's a great place to take a quick break. We want to remind our listeners that this segment is brought to you by The Voice on NBC. No, I'm kidding. It's brought to you by our friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs. Heino and I are both Toyota drivers. We love this dealership.
We do. We do. They really go out of their way to offer an excellent experience, not only in purchasing a car, but in having it serviced, because, you know, obviously, eventually, you're going to need to have every car serviced. And they're just a great, comfortable place to go. You don't get jumped on, you know, when you step on the lot like you do it in some other dealerships.
Well, and they have a lifetime warranty with unlimited time and miles on every new car. And is it new and used? New and used. A 3-day exchange policy. And my wife actually likes going there and getting the car serviced, you know.
Which says a lot, right?
Yeah.
There.
She doesn't feel like they're saying, oh, your defibrillating muffling unit also needs an overturn
for that.
Yeah. Right. go to toyotaofcoolsprings.com. Ask for George, the owner. He's going to take great care of you.
Yeah. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with more of Rick Barker here on the Music Row Show. Okay, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a little Phil Vassar, a little teaser for next hour.
That's right, he's going to be on.
That's true. But right now, we're on with Rick Barker. And we've been having some great conversations about his music, 30-Day Music Market Challenge and all that goes into that. I'm just curious, what all aspects of the business do you cover? Is it strictly for recording artists and songwriters, or what else do you cover?
It's interesting because I recently did some consulting for a real estate company.
Oh.
Because they were trying, basically, if you need to find an audience, that's what I teach. I teach people how to go take a goal and start working backwards
okay.
from the goal. You know, so it's like for songwriters, if you want to use social media to build your base, I don't want to call them fans, but the people you're going to want to follow are independent artists that might be looking for songs. You're yes. going to probably want to network with publishers, other songwriters for collaboration purposes and things mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. If you're a songwriter that wants to go out and maybe still get your, you know, kick out of playing and things like that, then you're going to want to go find people that want, that are into songwriters. You know, there's groups all over Facebook. I absolutely love Facebook because they remember more things about me than I remember about me. Get those memories now where you're like, crap, I was there. You know,
it's that guy looks like me.
If anyone has ever liked anything or commented on a page on Facebook, we can go out and find them, and you can do it very affordably. So that's a lot of what I teach, is just finding whatever that audience is that you're trying to reach. If you're a real estate person and you're trying to find home buyers in Austin, Texas, I'm not going to teach you how to do campaigns across the United States. It's
right.
a waste of your money. We're going to laser focus and target in on what it is that you want to do. So with the music marketing challenge, with anything that I do, I always say find a hungry audience and feed them. Because one of the things that I learned in business is that if I have a product that I want to get in the hands of people, it's mm-hmm. my responsibility to get it in front of them. It's not their responsibility to find me. If they find me, that's a bonus.
Well, let's talk about producer Logan, who's okay. not here this evening. But
let's really talk about him.
Let's really talk about him. He's in a new band, an alternative rock band called Paris.
Okay.
I actually talked about buying the band your challenge at Christmas time. But he said, you know, yeah, I like this. I like the idea, but I think I want to wait. We're really working on making sure our music's everything it can be before we're going out there full bore. Do you see people working on building their communities before the music is ready? Is that a good idea or a bad idea? What are your thoughts on that?
I have two thoughts on that. One is I think that they're smart in wanting to get their product right. But I also think that if the fans feel that they were a part of the process, mm-hmm. they're more willing to support the process. If not, you're going out and asking complete strangers to like your stuff.
Okay, so what do you mean being part of the process? Talk about that.
For example, there's a great company out there called Pledge Music. And what
right.
Pledge does is people go, well, aren't they a crowdfunding campaign? I go, no, they're actually a pre-order mm-hmm. campaign. It's giving fans the opportunity. So let's say that I wrote four songs, so I get a chance to go in and record two. So I would give those acoustic demos to the fans and say, hey, tell me which ones are your favorites. Oh, my gosh, I like this one and this one. Great. You know, those are our favorites, too. Now we're going to go in and record them. And then you come back and say, hey, those two songs that you said were your favorites, here they are. We just recorded. Matter of fact, we're going to bring you in the studio and let you watch the recording process. So now they feel like they were a part of something that was built. So then now when your EP comes out, you can also add a T-shirt to the process. You can add the liner notes. You can add the charts. Then now you get a chance to sell that EP for $20 in a bundle that mm-hmm. had you tried to sell it for $4.29 online. So because they felt like they were involved in something, they get excited about it. They anticipate the release of this record, and then they're the ones that are saying, you know what, I was with that band from the beginning. Matter
right.
of fact, I remember when they went in the studio to cut that song.
Yeah, I helped pick the songs.
Matter of fact, they let me help pick the artwork. They let me help design the first T-shirt. Fans love to be involved in communities.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely do. And there's no shortage, like we said, of bands that are out there. So if I have a band that I've never heard of that shows up with a CD,
right.
or I have a band that comes out at the same time that I've known from the day one the band formed and picked their name and was recording music and doing live Periscope saying, hey, we're going to play five songs for you tonight. Tell us which ones are your favorite. Now the fans feel like they were involved. That's what separates. Right now, I mean, when Taylor, her first record, you know, she was talking to people on MySpace all the time. She had some work tapes and some demos and things like that. But she's like, oh, my gosh, what do you like about Boys? Oh, my gosh, that's what I like about Boys. Our Song, Love Story.
Mm-hmm.
What, he cheated on you? Oh, should have said no, Picture to Burn. She wrote basically the story of their life.
Right.
Is what she did. So if the band, if Logan's band, they're probably having fun during the recording process.
Oh, sure.
They're probably
sure.
having fun during the songwriting process. Periscope that stuff. Let people see what it is that you're doing, unless you absolutely suck. But then don't, because you don't want to market a bad product.
There's right? always that.
If you're going to go out and work on your performance and you're going to work on your vocals and you've got something that people feel like they were there from the beginning, It's a totally different ballgame at that point.
Wow.
Interesting.
Hadn't thought of that. Now, audition tapes, both video and you know, MP3s, that kind of thing, that's part of the process. But I've heard you talk about mistakes people make with audition tapes. What are some of
some
those?
Some of this, like, for example, right now with The Voice or America's Got Talent, since they're the two that are left, all year long, they're looking for audition tapes. The problem is most people don't know how to record into a camera.
Right.
They don't know how to record into a computer. They don't know to back themselves away to control their own volume. They may not look at their settings that are around them. They may sing a song that their mom may think's the best song that they sing, but it's really not. You know? So there's not a lot of practice or a lot of rehearsal that goes into this. So it's like I always tell people, too, with audition tapes, we'll forgive poor video quality, but we will not forgive poor audio quality. So learn how to sing into a microphone. Learn how to sing into a laptop. Learn the different tools and techniques that you're going to need, because you can never be judged by what's not out there. But soon as you put it out there, you open up the floodgates.
Right.
And it seems to be that the negative people's comment buttons seem to work better
than the positive
people's comment buttons.
Yeah.
And it's like the positive people are too busy digging your stuff to complain. The people that have no life are just like, oh, dude, you suck.
Right. Like, or if somebody does make a positive comment, it's followed by 10 negative comments about that person.
And because artists are the way that you are, you never see the positive ones. You only see the negative ones, and you let it bring you down.
Right.
So you got to be careful there. But yeah, understand what it is you're auditioning for. Mm-hmm. Understand that the person on the other end, this is their impression of you. This is what's going to determine whether you get invited to the physical audition.
So you're saying then basically, if you're going to be singing, use a microphone that's plugged into to whatever you're recording
with.
Yes
or no, your iPhone right now has a great quality mic. Just back it off.
Okay.
Just back it off so it's not distorted. Then play it back before
and
you
listen
push
to
send.
It.
Yeah, listen to it.
That's crazy talk.
Wait a minute.
You know what's funny is a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of putting things out there, parents, just because you thought it was great doesn't mean everyone else is going to mean it's great. That digital footprint of your child is out there forever. I was teasing one time. I told my son did this great dance with a hose between his legs to We Are Young, and it was awesome.
Sure. Well, I mean, who hasn't, really?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But immediately I'm like, okay, if this gets out on Facebook, one day he's going to want a job,
right?
And now
he's going to run for president, and that's going to come out
searching. Right. Yeah. So not everything your kid does needs to be on the internet.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just a side note.
Wow, now I'm rethinking some of the stuff I've posted about my kids.
You had a mind-blowing idea from one of your videos. By the way, rickbarker.com, or you can find Rick Barker on Facebook. And on Facebook, I've seen several of your videos, the 25-minute to Nashville series.
Yeah, that was a fun series.
And you talk about using fan chat sites of similar artists and YouTube to help build your own community. And I just thought it was a crazy good idea. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So what happens is a lot of artists will put their original material up on Facebook and then get bummed out because it's not getting a lot of views. And I ask people this question every time: what is Facebook? And almost all of them answer, it's a place to post videos. I said, no, it's the second largest search engine in the world that attracts as many people as possible to show them Google ads, because Google owns YouTube. I said, so if it's a search engine, you want to post what people are searching for, which are the most popular songs or the most popular things. So I'm like, so if you're a folk rock act, do the best Bruno Mars song in your style. And then in the description, what happens most of the time is people will say, this is me doing Bruno Mars. Well, duh, I'm there. I know it's you doing Bruno Mars. The description part of a YouTube page is the algorithms for Google. That's for the spiders to go search. So you want to make sure you've got a link to your website. You want to say things like the artists that I consult. Say, hey, if you dug this, check out four of my originals. Tell me where to send them. It doesn't say, give me your email. Give me this. If you like me, you'll like them. Hey, if you like this, I got some great music. I'd love to send it to you. Just click on the link. Tell me where to send it. People don't use the real estate that's made available to them by these companies. This for Facebook, for the first time ever on a band page, is giving you the ability to send people to watch a video. It's the first time they've done it. Facebook is very guarded. It's very protected, because they don't want you to post a YouTube link and send people to get Google AdWords. They want to keep you in Facebook for their advertising. What a lot of people also don't understand about Facebook is when I'm on Facebook, I went to Facebook to stay on Facebook. I'm not going to link away. I'm going to scroll down and see what my friends are doing and so on and so forth. So if you can embed that same video inside, when you create a video, you have the ability to upload it to YouTube, which you should do.
Right.
But then you also have the ability to upload it directly into Facebook. So, and then Facebook says, hey, thank you. We're going to let more people see it because you're not sending them away.
So when you send them just a link to YouTube, Facebook doesn't like that. And Facebook, they make it harder to find you.
They make it harder. They don't allow as many people to see it who already like your page.
Right.
But they're like, hey, though, Scott, if you'd like to boost it and give us some money, we'll let more people see it.
Right.
So they're going to get their money from you one way or the other. But you want to understand that each social media platform plays by its own rules. So you need to understand those rules. And if you go to my website, rickbarker.com, just go down to Social Media for Music, click on it, and I have a free video that will teach you a lot of that. And then if you say, hey, this guy kind of knows what he's talking about and I think it can help, then you can go on and purchase something. But I do a lot of free training just as a way to show people what's going on. And then you never know when they're going to come back into your world.
Right.
Again, too often people try to get everything up front. Artists are the worst at that, by the way.
Hold on. What do you mean?
Well, think about this. When you go to an artist's website, if they have music on iTunes, usually the first thing they do is put up a big old banner that says, click here to go get my music on iTunes.
Right.
Shame on you. Because what happens, they may not come back. And I have not ever received, as a manager of artists, iTunes has never once contacted me and said, hey, Rick, so-and-so just bought your record. Here's their contact information. You should go build a relationship with them. So that's one of the biggest mistakes. But people thought, that's what I have to do. There was a statistic a few years back on iTunes that said like 400,000 of the downloads that get up there sell less than one copy.
Right.
Wow.
And then there was one that had like less than 10. It was crazy. So what I say is get them into your world, get them to your website. We create what's called an opt-in to give away a freemium. Usually it's music. And I say that loosely when I say give away music. You're really not giving away music. You're exchanging that music
for their contact.
For their contact information. Right. But then the bigger problem we had is no one taught anyone proper email marketing strategies. So they would only send out emails, vote for me, buy for me, do for me. We hate our friends that are like that. And now as an artist, they thought that would be different. So I also focus on teaching people how to do proper email marketing, because right now, everyone opens their email. They may not always necessarily be on Twitter. They may not be sitting by their Facebook, but at some point they check their email. So we teach them that. So another situation that we were running into is that you would come to someone's website and there was no place to hear music. The only way I could hear your music is if I bought it. And I'm like, wait a minute, isn't the whole idea to get it played? Isn't that what we're arguing with radio about? You're not playing our music enough. Well, I went to your website and you weren't playing it either. And that was happening with a lot of the labels that I was consulting. I'm like, there's no music player on your website.
Yeah.
But everyone's up in arms that radio's not playing it. Well, neither are you, you know?
But I've been to several websites that will play clips of their music and then, you know, go buy it. And that's kind of the same thing.
It's kind of the same thing. I mean, right now with everything that's out there, there's no shortage of ways to find music or to hear music. And that's really on the sucky end for the songwriter sometimes, because all these songs are getting played, and instead of splitting up dollars, now we're splitting up, you know, percentages of a penny with everyone. So I'm all about, if I'm going to get you and I've got your attention, I want to give you my best stuff. But what I'm going to say is that, you know what, I would love to send you this. Just tell me where to send it. So then once I get their email address, then I can send them a link that says, hey, you know, I just sent you four songs. What was your favorite? Great. Then maybe 5 days later, say, by the way, I was involved in this cool project. It's out on iTunes. Check it out. Here's a link. Now, that's our third date that I'm now sending you off to iTunes, not the first date. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, once again, treating people the way that we want to be treated.
But I mean, as far as purchasing goes, you want to have them purchase it from your website anyway, so you're not having to give Apple 30%?
Absolutely. But I don't actually care if they purchase from Apple at that point, because they feel safe giving their money to Apple. Apple's done a great job of trust. Amazon's done a great job of trust.
Mm-hmm.
But they've also done a great job of building up this amazing database off my marketing dollars to be able to then sell them a toaster or whatever. And I don't get a percentage of that. So what I try to do right now is to say, okay, what do the audience members feel comfortable doing? I really don't care how much of the money that I get, as long as I get the ability to maintain that relationship.
Okay.
Because I'm able then to sell them a bundle later, or offer them a t-shirt, or offer them something else. I'm not able to do that if the only place they've ever sent money or given their contact information to is a third party that I don't own.
Interesting.
All right, listen, we need to take a break.
Sure,
this segment is brought to you by Dogwood Cabin Rentals. Look, Townsend, Tennessee is the peaceful side of the Smokies. If you want to get away from the rush, the tourists, just enjoy the quiet beauty of the Smoky Mountains. Go to dogwoodcabins.com. Book your cabin. I know you're going to maybe going in the next weekend
or so.
That's true. You and your lovely wife.
Yeah.
Check it out. What's the website again?
They're at dogwoodcabins.com. Go check them out. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a little Phil Vassar. Stay tuned at the top of the hour. He's going to be joining us. But right now, we've got Rick Barker of rickbarker.com and Music Industry Blueprint. We've been talking about some great industry advice for people. And one of the things that I've had endless conversations with many people about is we can't wrap our heads around how an artist can have like a huge hit, and then their next single comes out and it doesn't do as well, and bam, they're dropped. And it's like, wow. That makes your head spin. It's like, they don't. Why does that happen? Do hits not count anymore?
I think hits count a lot. I just think that, you know, Billboard charts and radio airplay charts are two different charts.
Uh-huh.
Right now, it's like there's a lot of great songs that are out there on the radio, but a lot of times you can wait till you hear them again. You don't physically have to have access to them. But if you feel you have a connection with that artist, you want to support that artist. One of my big campaigns this year in 2016 is educating the consumer. And this is something that I'm very passionate about, is that Taylor and Justin Bieber's audiences were probably the last audiences that remember having to physically buy a CD in order to consume the product.
They're early audiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right around 2006. So right now what happens is I tell artists that I work with, I said, here's the bottom line. You're in the 99-cent friend business. You need your friend to feel obligated to spend less than a pack of gum when your single comes out. And at the end of that concept, to complete the purchase, which is less than $10 usually. I give strangers $10. I have these kids that come to my house with like overpriced Tupperware and wrapping paper and chocolate that I give 10. But I can't give $10 to my favorite artist. We as an industry, in my opinion, have never educated the consumer on the cost that go in and the people that are involved with the making of this music. All the fans see are courtside at the Knicks games and buses.
It's like, oh, these guys are loaded.
T-shirts and
yeah, people assume if you're on the radio, you're rich.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They think you're famous.
Yeah.
They think that you've made it. I work with a band, Cimarelli. They've got one of the top 50 largest YouTube followings online. Everyone thinks if you have a huge following online, you're a millionaire, because one report came out and said these people are all millionaires because they're on YouTube. That is not the norm. It's the same with recording artists. You can have a successful song at radio and you can get the downloads that come along with that radio airplay. But because of the percentages that are having to be split right now between so many people, and once again, we're splitting percentages of pennies and not dollars anymore because of the vehicles at which we consume our music now.
Right.
Until they buy that record. So that's why I say, don't try to build your fan base at radio. I'll speak for country, for example, because all the music starts in overnights. You can have a top 20 single at radio and your song really not get any airplay in normal daytime hours. And
really?
A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
So unless you're selling to donut shop workers or stock clerks, if that's your market, or truck drivers, they're the ones that are hearing your music, so they're not consuming. So the artist and managers and labels, in my opinion, and this is my opinion only, need to spend as much attention on building the relationship with the fans as they do in building the relationships with radio. Because they need to happen and can happen at the same time. But the problem that I found that we run into is when a kid gets a record deal, that was his goal. My goal is to get a record deal. Well, congratulations. You just achieved your goal. So everyone's saying all these great things to these kids because they want them to sign with their label. So now you have to come in and say, oh, but by the way, there's a whole bunch of things that are broken that we need to fix. Subconsciously, they're like, well, then how did I get my deal? How did I get the publishing deal? How did I get the record deal if everything's not right? And a lot of them will just assume that because these labels have these different departments that take care of that, that it's being taken care of for
wah,
them.
Wah.
And then all of a sudden, when radio doesn't play the second single because Music Row is built on radio, then the label can't keep funding. The label's the bank. The bank needs to get paid back. Everyone says, oh, you know, labels are... labels are great. You know, you want mass exposure. You want that hit on the radio. You're going to need a record label for that. But are you in a position to take advantage of that exposure? And most aren't. And that's the sad part.
Hmm. Okay. We need to take one last break. This segment was brought to you by the Donut Friars Union of
Truck
America.
Drivers United, yeah.
Thank God for all of you. No, we're going to be right back with one last segment with Rick Barker and a Phil Vassar story. So yes. Stick around. We'll be right back on the Music Row Show.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a little Phil Vassar you're listening to there, who's coming up here in the next hour. That was him just dancing outside the window there. But right now we're here with Rick Barker.
Why do you always say little Phil Vassar?
I did not say that.
That's little Phil Vassar. You say that every time.
You
always say it with all of our, anytime we play, so, and that's a little.
Yeah, well.
Why is it always,
yeah.
You know what's funny? When I was in
radio.
Oh, look,
it's little
Phil Vassar.
That is funny.
We just got a little Phil Vassar bobblehead. That
was
perfect.
Wow, I love that. Who's
all right.
Is Hino the greatest co-host ever?
It's weird how it's still saying no.
Weird.
When I was in radio, my crutch, I did radio for 15 years. I would always come back and I go, hey, it's me, Rick. And I was sitting down with my program director. He goes, are you Asian? I go, what do you mean? He goes, me, Rick? I go, oh, wow, I do that all the time.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so that's interesting.
Well, a little.
We only have a little bit of time, and something that I've learned from you from your videos is there truly are some magic words that your parents taught you as a kid.
Thank you.
Thank you. And in the world of social media, what I see so many artists doing, and we've kind of already talked about it, is listen to my new song, check out my new video, come to my show, blah, 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 and that's all they do. But talk about the engagement part of it, because I think that's probably so much more important.
I read a great book by Gary Vaynerchuk, and don't ask me to spell it, but you can look him up.
G-A-R-Y.
Yes, perfect. We'll start there. Yeah, okay. Gary Vaynerchuk, he has a book called The Thank You Economy. And what he said was we need to go back to this small town mentality that if someone paid you a compliment, you said thank you. Well, as an artist, every time someone says something about you online, they're complimenting you. And if you leave them hanging, shame on you. And I thought about that for a minute. I go, he's absolutely correct. Because whoever told artists that they should not follow people back on Twitter should be hung by a tree. Because Twitter is the easiest thing in the world to click the follow button. Mm-hmm. So if you go look at an artist page and it says has 1 million followers, but they're following 28, they just basically told almost a million people that you're not even good enough for me to follow you back on Twitter.
You're not important to me.
Exactly. And that was the biggest problem that we had, is we all kept putting the artist up on a pedestal. Well, the fans will do that on their own. Our PR guys shouldn't do that. Our label shouldn't do that. The fans need to feel that they're connected to you, that they have something, once again, because with the internet, there's no shortage of people that will pay attention to you. And if someone says, hey, yeah, there's a PR guy right there. Curry, what's up?
Hi.
So if someone says, loved your show, and you can't be on the bus and put down your, you know, war zone, whatever the heck you're playing on the bus, it takes no time to go back and say thank you.
Or to just retweet
And then they'll go share it with their friends.
Sure.
You know, and that's the thing, is that we have to remember right now, unless we are going to buy all of our records, we have to engage the fans and let them feel like they have a relationship with us worth reciprocating. We don't like our friends who just show up when they need stuff. Don't be that artist.
I see. Yeah. Well, that brings us to your Phil Vassar story.
Yes. And I know Phil's in the hall, so he may or may not remember this. So A few years ago, I was managing Chuck Wicks, and Phil and Chuck were part of the WSMV, does their little Christmas telethon. Everybody comes in, and I sing, and they go. So we were in the restroom, and Phil was using the bathroom, and I put my phone where it had that shutter sound, like it takes a picture. Mm-hmm. I said, are you ever worried of someone taking a picture while you're using the bathroom and putting it out on social media? And I just clicked the sound, and it's like, I know for a second, he's like, holy crap, did that guy just take a picture of me? And I didn't, but it was the funniest thing. I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, we're laughing about it, washing our hands, and we move on.
But he's, the whole time he's thinking,
I know deep down, he's like, did that guy ever really take a picture, you know, of this? But yeah, I just thought it was funny. I said, don't you ever worry as an artist that someone's going to like take a picture?
Right.
I didn't, but yeah. You know,
wow. So rickbarker.com to see all of the pictures that he's ever taken in the men's room. No, it's rickbarker.com.
Sure.
And musicindustryblueprint.com.
Yeah, easiest is just go to rickbarker.com. You can follow me on my socials. I follow everyone back.
Sweet.
So go there and follow me on Periscope. You can connect that to your Twitter.
Yep.
I do Periscopes all the time. It is the most amazing form of instant get to your fans. I mean, it's
I love getting that little whistle during the day.
Yeah. Well, that's because Twitter bought them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that's why it happens. But it's absolutely amazing what it's able to do. I had a young lady the other night. She did her first Periscope, ended up with 4,000-plus followers. Periscope ended up featuring her as their artist of the day. And it's like, when's the last time an artist could just turn on their phone and perform in front of 600 people?
That's pretty
that's
awesome.
The power
that's pretty awesome.
Of social media.
Well, thanks again for joining us. We've
Anytime.
Had a great time. We've got another great hour of the show coming up. If you, in case you haven't guessed it by now, we've got Phil Vassar joining us. And we're
very
kind
exciting.
Of excited about that.
Very
yeah, so,
exciting.
So come on back to the Music Row Show in just a few minutes.